Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, June 15th.
Curmudgeonless Trump Hour of Power.
Yes.
No. No.
June 15th, 2017, just after 3:30 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Beau is with me again, as you just heard. Hello, Yvonne.
I am here. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
So our agenda today is basically going to be twofold. There was the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia today, or earlier as we, whatever, a few hours ago as we're recording this, of Republican Congress people who were practicing for a baseball game. We'll talk a little bit about that and the implications thereof, blah, blah, blah. Not to minimize it by blah, blah, blahing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. And, of course, updates on all of the Trump scandals of the week.
Trump scandals of the week. I love this. This is standard, stuff, I guess. Yeah.
Trump's scandal of the week. Yeah.
It would be utterly shocking if we had a week that did not have developments on that front. And, you know, we talked a little bit about maybe talking about some of the domestic stuff, like the updates on the travel ban going through the courts. There are a couple different lawsuits on the emoluments clause. There's developments on the health care front in terms of, you know, the secret Senate bill making its way through and Trump making some comments about how the House bill was mean and he hoped the Senate bill would be more generous. But all of these things are things where
nobody cares.
Well, it's not that nobody cares. It's that they're not fully formed yet in the same, like, there's not real, like, meat to talk about. Like, on the emolument side, a couple lawsuits were filed, but we won't even hear arguments for those and all of that kind of stuff for a long time. On the travel ban, things are making their way slowly through the court. Trump lost again in another one, but the Supreme Court is going to weigh in soon. And so, you know, it's just sort of working its way through. And same thing with healthcare. It's like the Senate's keeping everything secret, so we don't really know anything until they come out with something, which, according to all the reports, the plan is come out with the bill and vote on it within 48 hours. You know, but we don't know at this point. It's just sort of like, they're working on something.
Why do they think that is something that I'm trying to understand why they believe that is something that works? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, one Senate staffer was anonymously quoted in one article that when asked, well, why aren't you showing the bill to the public before you vote on it? And the answer was, well, we're not stupid. Because they know the public wouldn't like it. So if they're going to get something passed...
Why would they want to pass something the people don't want? It's my point. This is... you know what I'm...
Because they have to get a win.
A win. Oh, okay. A win. When you are elected by the people, and what you do is try to, in as secret a way as possible, pass something that they don't like, it doesn't sound like really a win. It sounds like an own goal in soccer terms.
Uh-huh.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, do you understand my own goal?
Yes, concept? I know what it means. Yes.
Okay, just double checking. Just, you know, I know you're...
For anyone who is out there who doesn't, it means when you accidentally score a goal for the other team by, you know... And the concept exists in several different sports.
But in soccer, it's the biggest one. Because in soccer, you can actually, unlike in some other sports, you can actually score... for the other team.
Right.
If you shoot against the wrong goal and it gets in,
it counts.
It, 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 it counts. Okay, in American football, if you run the ball into the opposite field, it's a safety. It counts only for 2 points. Okay, not for a full score. Mm-hmm. Okay. But in soccer, an own goal, in which I when I was at our high school soccer team, you had a couple of like,
yep.
I did not, but I had like, our best player once like did one where it freaked us all out that barely, I always remember, never forget this experience where he went to try to make a pass and he made it so strong that he freaked us all out. We were all jumped up and we're saying, "Dude, no!" And he shot it like so hard, and it barely did not become an own goal, but it was so close that we were all like, I mean, afterwards we almost all like collapsed and like how scared we were of doing it.
Okay, okay.
And this is what this
enough about that.
But I was making the analogy because this is what this feels like. I mean,
the healthcare.
These guys, yeah, these guys are going out there to do something that is. I mean, if you're a sensible person that is rooting for that party of your own, they are. This is what they are doing. They're about to shoot this own goal, and you all have to be screaming like, "Dude, my God, what the fuck!"
Well, there's still several steps that they have to go through before they actually enact something into law. But they apparently are a lot closer than, you know, when we were talking about it a month or so ago, we thought that, you know, hey, if anything they do to get it through the Senate isn't going to make it back through the House again, they're going to have trouble reconciling, blah, blah, blah. It now looks, from the few leaks that have come out, it looks like what the Senate is considering is essentially the same as the House bill, with only very minor tweaks, and they think they are going to pass it with 50 votes plus the VP.
But my point is that by doing so, I mean, how much are they damaging their party by doing that? Is the question. I don't understand what they are trying to do. Is my point. There was today I kept seeing people and what the level of like dislike for the House bill is. And it's high. It's sky high. Okay? So why I am trying to understand what the fuck they're trying to do?
They are trying to get enough of a cost reduction to fund the tax cuts they want to do in the next round.
Yeah, but okay, I get that. But how do they get that as a win? I mean, they're going to piss off.
Yvonne, could it possibly be that they actually think it's the right thing to do? And they're willing to take the political hit?
I guess that's possible.
incredulous.
I do.
We know none of them were really happy with the various compromises in this bill anyway, but I think there is a feeling that if you're coming into it starting with the premise that the kind of protections that were enacted in Obamacare were bad, then anything that gets rid of them is good. And yes, you're reducing the number of people with insurance, but you believe it's bad insurance because it's not that good insurance anyway, and you're only returning things to sort of the pre-Obamacare status quo.
I gotta be honest, I still highly doubt that they can get 50 plus one.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly right on the edge. And they seem to be putting out the message that they know they're losing, I believe, Rand Paul and Senator Lee. But they think they've got the other 50. But, you know, there are a couple others like Collins, who, the moderate types, who clearly are going to want certain things to feel like they can walk this cliff, you know? And so
let me tell you some of the things that are in there, for example, that were in the other bill. Look, they were allowing people to reinstitute like lifetime limits on insurance and stuff like that. Stuff that is just non-starter. Okay. I just don't see how you, and the problem is that if you take some of those out, that does increase the cost substantially of this. Okay. So I don't see how they get this. Because there's a lot of people that are married to getting rid of that shit. The pre-existing condition stuff, the lifetime limits, those kinds of things. Why I keep...
I don't want to spend too much more time on this, because the whole thing is, as long as the Senate bill is secret, we don't know what the fuck is in there.
We have no fucking idea. You're absolutely right.
You know, I mean, like I said, the leaks have said it's actually very similar to the House bill, but we don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen, and at some point it's going to come out, and then we'll have something to talk about. But, you know, if they stick to their timelines, it'll come out. They'll debate it. They'll vote on it, you know, in between two of our shows, you know, they'll do the whole thing. So we'll see, by the end of the month is their target for voting on this thing.
All right. So I don't forget on another front of something that is not on one of the big topics. Which is a topic that you would not cover ever. So there was an NBA champion this week. Okay, great. It doesn't make a difference to you, but I get that. But one of the traditional things that the NBA or any football sport champions do is to go to the White House. Okay, and that's traditionally happened like forever. Okay, for every major sport in the United States. Now, the coach of the team that won is a very anti-Trump. And not just him, but a number of the players. Mm-hmm. It is very appears that the team is going to, for the first time in, I mean, I don't recall my living history, they are going to reject going to the White House.
The whole team, not just individual players.
The whole team. Yeah, not like as it happened in other things where some players haven't gone, but the whole team. It's just going to say we're not going to go say hi to this jerk off.
Interesting.
Yeah. I actually applaud them for doing that, because I got to be honest, if I won a championship to go and like get congratulated by this asshole, I would want nothing to do with it.
Well, and this is something that in the early weeks of the transition, I kept saying, where all of these people from all kinds of different roles in life, from entertainment to politicians to business people, were going to Trump Tower to kiss the ring, basically. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Come on, some of these people, just say no. Or even better, go listen to his spiel and then come out and slam him. But no,
yes.
nobody did any of that. You know, they all went and they kissed the ring and blah, blah, blah. There were very few people you heard about, you know, just rejecting it outright.
No, right now it is very, very, it is becoming very evident, it seems, according to a lot of reports, that the entire team is saying, we're not going over there to kiss this ring. He can go suck it.
Right. Okay. Hey, since you mentioned other articles that weren't on our main thing, I have to, of course, ask you, as you are a resident expert, the Puerto Rican statehood referendum.
It was meaningless. It was meaningless because I sent you the stats. The big problem was there was a massive boycott of the vote. So voter participation was extremely low.
But with the low participation they got, for those who don't know, it was a 97% vote for statehood, which is way higher than it's ever been before, right?
Well, it's been, but the voter boycott was mostly by the groups that opposed statehood, and right. So yeah, it's 97% because only the really like diehard pro statehood people showed up to vote for it.
Now let me ask you this though. So now, last I heard, Republicans support Puerto Rican statehood. Is that correct?
The Republicans in the platform for the Republican Party had put in support for Puerto Rican statehood.
Now, do they believe that if Puerto Rico was a state, it would vote Republican?
Of course not. And as a matter of fact, that's the main reason why everybody that has a brain understands that, that there's no way the Republicans will actually really support Puerto Rican statehood.
Right. So it's something they put in their platform but would never actually do so long as... Because correct me if I'm wrong... It's fairly clear if Puerto Rico ever did become a state, in terms of Congress and the presidency, it would
almost... Oh, it's going to be an overwhelmingly Democratic state.
Right. So, yeah,
no doubt about it.
So there's no way it would... And traditionally, the only way... Well, I should say traditionally. This has actually not always been the case. But back when we were admitting states on a regular basis, a very common tactic was... simultaneously let in one state of each party.
Correct.
To maintain the balance.
Correct.
And so, you know, if you have something like Puerto Rico, you would almost assuredly, to get any sort of agreement to add a state, you would need a corresponding new Republican state to add at the same time.
Of course, we don't have any of those.
We could make one, right?
Like where?
Well, the Constitution... actually does not have any restrictions on size or population for a new state.
Okay.
You just need, like, so all you need to do is take one of the uninhabited atolls in the Pacific, have a couple of Republicans move there.
Could we send a whole bunch of fucking, like, Republicans, like, over there?
And you don't even need a bunch, just, like, one or two.
But I would like to send more than just one or two. I would like to send a whole bunch.
I guess you need a minimum of three because you need two senators and a representative. So you'd need at least that many people.
I mean, you need
a state government too. So I guess you would probably also need a governor.
If I could round up to 50,000, like we could start with our friend Marcus. And we could, like, get, like, a whole bunch of his friends, and we could just ship them over there to a fucking atoll in the middle of the Pacific, and we could make them their own fucking state. That would be great.
Yeah. So, because... anyway, but the interesting thing, though, is that this hasn't actually been abused more than it has been, because you only need a majority in Congress, both houses, and the signature of the president. That's all you need to make a state.
That's all you need. Yes.
So like,
that's it.
So like, theoretically, every time one party had control of both houses of parliament, both houses of Congress and the presidency.
That would be more interesting if we had a parliament. Yeah, but that's but okay.
It's theoretically every time that happened, they could just make like 10 more states of their party.
That would be, yeah.
You know?
That would be nice.
I mean, I guess, you know.
Would be something.
When you talk about the sort of constitutional cracks that exist that you could potentially have shenanigans happen. Now, you can't split a state without additional approvals from like that state and some other stuff. So you couldn't just like, you know, take North Dakota and make it 10 states.
Oh, that would be interesting. Well, I would like to split off North Florida from Southern Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do that.
There you go.
I would be thrilled to pieces.
There are all kinds of interesting things you could do, but that's not going to happen. So enough of that speculation.
Oh, damn.
So okay, nothing's going to happen
Puerto
with Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico's not becoming a state anytime soon.
And neither is D.C.
No.
Those are the two that are talked about most commonly these days. And before we move on to real topics, I got two more things. So first, I have another choice for you again. I've got a movie, a TV show, or at, you know, I've actually got more than one movie, but movies, TV shows, or I finished a class on iTunes U.
Oh, gosh, go with a class on iTunes U. Okay.
Okay, so now, to be clear, I didn't do, like, the proper thing where, you know, you do homework and papers and all this crap and stuff.
Oh, you lazy bastard.
I just listened to the lectures. And, you know, I'd been reading, I actually started this class the first time, like, something like 3 or 4 years ago. And I listened to it for a while, and then I stopped, and I never finished it. I resumed it. I actually started over on January 1st. And I just finished, and obviously I wasn't listening to it on a regular, ongoing basis. I've been reading. I had been reading Lord of the Rings with my son Alex, and we'd done the Fellowship of the Ring. And so this was actually a class analyzing the Fellowship of the Ring by a professor who's known for in-depth analysis of Tolkien's works. And it was kind of fun. I mean, the whole thing, you know, if you listen to it straight from beginning to end, it's probably only like 8 to 10 hours, something like that. But it was interesting because he picked up on various parts of what was going on in the text and analyzed them in depth. He went, like, you know, there are poems in the thing, and he talked about the structure and nature of the poems and how they developed and how certain characters interacted with each other and the meaning within stuff. I actually had a lot of fun listening to it, I will say. And enough,
that's good.
Enough so that I will probably listen to more. Along the same genre for you know, more of the series, but you know it was fun, and you know I've been doing a couple other iTunes U things simultaneously. The first time I tried it several years ago, I did some that were video as well, and this time around I was like, I can't deal with that. I listen to these things in the car, the video takes time to load, blah blah blah, it doesn't work well. So I restricted it to audio only, but so I like ditched one that I was trying to listen to that was on like some physics stuff where the guy was always writing equations on the board and stuff like that, because they didn't have an audio-only version, because if you did audio-only of that, he'd be like, and if you look at this equation and carry the two and blah, 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 and you're like, what the hell is he talking about? Because you can't see the damn thing. So I've skipped those, and so I'm doing one on, like, European history, one on... what was the other thing? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was doing a couple of them, but in all of them, they potentially have like reading that goes along with it or homework assignments that go along with it. And I'm like, ah, screw all that stuff. The Tolkien one didn't have that at all, but some of the other, oh, I'm doing one on game theory. That's the other one I'm doing.
Okay.
So I enjoy the fact that these kinds of materials are available. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. You know, I'm at this point in my life, I am not actually going to go back to college and take classes for real, but it's fun to take
a topic. Sorry, but I don't understand why you don't.
The time commitment and the...
So?
Yeah. It's just, I've got other things to spend time on that would come ahead of that. Like, the only way...
You're a lazy fuck.
I am a lazy fuck. But, I mean, I've got other stuff to do. Like, if I'm choosing between
things... I know, we all got stuff to do. Not, yeah, I get it.
But that's not going to be...
Well, I got my master's. Like, I got my master's. You're a slacker.
I'm sorry. I never got a graduate degree, and I will regret that. And probably, you know, someday when I retire, maybe I will. I'll retire.
Well, I will hold you to that.
We'll see. Maybe if I find a course of study that I find interesting enough, maybe I'll do it after I retire. But until then,
I don't care if it's like freaking like us. I don't give a shit what it's in. Something, anything.
But you know, in the meantime, though, the nice thing about these kinds of things is you can just pick a topic you're interested in and basically, you know, audit the course by sitting in and listening to what they do and absorbing whatever you want to whatever degree you wish to. Like, if you really were hardcore about it, yeah, you could do all the homework and you could do this and you could do that and you could really get the most out of it. Or you just listen to the lectures and sort of absorb what you absorb and move on. And that's kind of what I've been doing, and it's fun. And like the Lord of the Rings stuff was really new for me. Like the game theory stuff, I've heard most of this stuff before. How far I've gotten, the European history stuff, I've heard most of it before. And the professor there, I'm kind of annoyed by him. I'm gonna make myself finish the damn thing, but honestly, like the way he presents it, it's just like it's just not engaging me. It's like, if I was in this class for real, I'd be hating life, you know. But listening to, like, you know, half an hour every other week, okay, cool, I'll do that. Anyway, so I listened to that course. I finished it. I enjoyed it. I recommend, if you guys out there have not like sampled iTunes U, at least those of you in the Apple universe, iTunes U is in iTunes and obviously and it's an app on iOS as well. And they're frankly equivalents out there. Like there are a lot of universities that put their stuff out online at this point. I think Caltech does, MIT does, Harvard does, Stanford does, a whole bunch of, you know, well-known universities put out a lot of material. There was one that had to actually pull it back because of something related to accessibility, and it was too expensive to comply with accessibility laws. But a lot of the stuff is still out there. It's fun stuff. Check it out, and you know, follow your interests. Okay, that was one of my two things. And I know we've been babbling on way too long, and we should get to the meat. And I'm sorry. And that's why I put in the show notes the times, so you can fast forward past all this crap if you don't want.
Yeah, fast forward as much as you want.
Yes.
So okay.
And of course, listen to us at 1.5 times speed or something. Yeah. So anyway. The other thing
that makes my voice sound even worse than it normally does, but that's okay.
Well, at least most of these things do pitch correction, so you don't sound like a chipmunk.
I sound like a chipmunk already without that. I mean, I don't think the pitch. Anyway.
Anyway, the only other thing I'm going to mention is this weekend, my wife and I are going to do something that we haven't done ever, really, but we did some stuff that was close, but over 10 years ago, which is, for the first time in forever, we are going to go away for a weekend without the kids.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is the last time I believe we were together somewhere without either Amy or Alex was when we were scouting out we were scouting out the opportunity of me moving to Florida for a job in 2004.
Jesus Christ, that's what I was saying. It's like a long, long time ago.
It was like 2003, 2004, somewhere around there, was probably the last time we've done anything even remotely like that. And it's not quite the same either, because we had a purpose. We were going down and checking out the area and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't just for fun. But this weekend, this will be the first time since Alex was born that he will have a night with neither one of us in the house. You know, so, but we're going to do this. We're going off for a weekend. You know, I actually booked it as a Mother's Day present for Brandy, back at Mother's Day. So we're going to go off, and just, hang out somewhere. For those of you who are around here, there's a little town east of the Cascades, that's a touristy town, with a German theme called Leavenworth. Apparently the town was like
Leavenworth.
Yeah, not the prison. That's different. No, apparently this town a number of decades ago was going through really hard economic times. All of the things that had been the economy of the town were declining and going away, and the town all sort of got together and said, "Okay, let's retheme the entire town with like a Bavarian theme." And become a tourist place. And so they changed everything. So like all the buildings have to look German and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, we booked a weekend there. And so we're just going to go across the mountains, leave the kids here. My daughter and my mother are going to take turns taking care of my son, and we're just going to go off with no agenda for a few days. And you know, the place has like events, like I believe the weekend we're going there is like an accordion festival or something, you know. So there's all kinds of that kind of crap going on.
Well, it sounds interesting.
But basically, we're just going to chill out and try not to think about too much and not do that much and just sort of hang out and relax and eat at some restaurants and enjoy the scenery because it's like up on the edge of the mountains and stuff. And so, you know, I don't know what we'll do with ourselves. We've never done this before. We've really never done it. So
anyway. I find that amazing, but okay, great.
Amazing that we've never done it, or amazing that we're going to do it now?
No. Amazing you've never done it. We did something like that as recently as a month ago.
Yeah. No, again, aside from the time where we actually had a mission and something we were trying to accomplish in checking out Florida, I don't think we've ever done this in the you know, 15 years we've known each other.
It's very good for you, and it's very healthy, and I hope you guys really enjoy the time off.
We will try. Okay, and that all went on way too long, as it usually does. Maybe we should put these "but first" things at the end, as a "but end."
No, it's okay. Unless, you guys can give us feedback on that.
Yeah, or we can also just, I mean,
we had heard positive feedback about doing this.
We have
before. So I have not heard negative. So
we have heard positive feedback about telling these little personal stories, and also, frankly, we took most of the segment talking about like healthcare and stuff. So I mean, it was exactly a real issue.
So it wasn't.
Yeah, but whatever, you know, give us the feedback. If we get feedback that says, you know, hey, keep the personal chatter down to like 10 minutes or so,
we'll try to limit it. Yes,
or
we'll just get carried away.
We'll completely ignore you because we don't actually care.
Yeah, we do care, but we may ignore you.
We do care. Okay, we're taking a break. We will be back. And what do you want to do first, the shooting or Trump?
Oh, let's go with the shooting first.
Okay, we will be back after this and talk about, yeah, that baseball shooting thing. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
There's a butter shortage.
Okay.
God. News alert. This is a crisis.
Hold on.
It's a news alert. This is a crisis. Sam, they're saying there's a butter shortage.
And I guess we're back. A butter shortage, Yvonne?
That's what the news says. A butter shortage.
You know, this is...
I can't live without butter.
You know... Butter and cheese are like my two staples, right?
Right! I mean, butter! I can't live without butter! There says here that a butter shortage has forced the price of butter to go up by more than 90% in the last year.
Here?
It says apparently in Europe, but it impacts here. I imagine we import butter.
We don't have good old fashioned American butter.
We have butter, but we don't completely like do our supply. I mean, most of the butter I eat Irish butter.
You eat Irish butter?
Yeah, I do.
What the hell difference is it?
It actually it does taste different. I don't know how to describe it.
I believe there's some differences. Obviously,
my favorite is like actually, to be honest, is Danish. Butter, to be honest, but lately, for some reason, I haven't been able to get a hold of it.
You know,
lure back for those of you who heard of brand. But anyway,
I don't think we're particularly butter connoisseurs. Like we just buy like the grocery store brand of butter.
A butter shortage is a crisis for our nation. Anyway, all right, let's move on to other subjects.
Why is there a shortage of butter?
You know what's a great question? I have no idea. It says here, it just says there's a shortage, but it doesn't say why.
Because you'd think that if there was a shortage of butter, there'd be a shortage of other dairy products.
All right, let's see.
We are talking real butter, not like some kind of margarine thing.
Right? A nationwide pastry penury is possible. The industry is under unsustainable pressure. He said, and it's going to get worse. There's a real risk of butter running out. This is according to an article in The Guardian. I don't understand, but you know, but there's we could have a butter crisis in our hands.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know about you, but if you got to the supermarket and there's no butter, would you freak out?
Eventually. Like, I wouldn't freak out if there was no butter once.
But if you went multiple times and there was no butter.
Then,
yeah. I mean, my breakfast involves everyday butter. If I get no butter, I'm gonna start getting, like, really pissed off.
No, there's no question whatsoever. Butter is a regular part of my diet. If it disappeared entirely, could I find substitutes? Probably.
But I would not be happy. Anyway, all right.
So, yes. To the intended topic here.
Sorry that I got distracted by the impending butter crisis in the planet. Yes.
So some guy decided that he was going to go stalk the congressional Republicans while they were practicing for a baseball game with the Democrats and started shooting.
Yep.
And apparently there were, you know, 50 plus shots. I mean, the exact number has varied based on who's reporting, and I don't think they have a real count yet. But remarkably, only 4 people were injured.
So basically he wasn't a very good shooter. Is that what you're...
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you'd think that, I mean, and look, Representative Scalise, who's the House whip, is the third highest ranking Republican. And so he had a security detail there and they started, you know, shooting back fairly quickly. So there wasn't a complete lack of protection here. But yeah, you'd think if he got that many shots off, you know, it's remarkable that as few people were injured as were, and that nobody is dead as of now. Now, apparently, Scalise is still in critical condition. His injuries are worse than it initially appeared. So he's in pretty bad shape right now. But at the moment, nobody has died. Except the shooter. The police shot him and killed him. The big thing around this is that it does appear to be politically motivated. This was an anti-Trump, anti-Republican activist who was a
Bernie bro.
He was a Bernie bro. He seems to have been motivated very much by that. The reports are, it seemed, you know, at first it was like people were unsure if this was reliable, but it does look pretty clear now that he asked before he went to shooting, are these Republicans or Democrats? And when it was confirmed that they were Republicans, that's when he started his shooting spree. So there are clear political motivations here. And so the argument is, you know, back when Gabby Giffords was shot, you know, there was a lot of talk about how, you know, did the right wing incite this? Because they had all kinds of posters saying you need to take action and pictures of crosshairs and things like that. And a lot of rhetoric that was very heated. And here now on the left, we've also got a lot of rhetoric about how, you know, how the Republicans are evil and how this is bad and how we have to resist and all this kind of stuff. And so
there's a difference between resisting and there is another is a difference between going out and like starting to shoot.
Well, but we've also had rhetoric within the last few months of like, you know, should you punch a Nazi? And all these guys are, all these Republicans are a bunch of Nazis and fascists. And if they're fascists, okay, why aren't we?
There is a big difference between punching somebody and killing them.
I understand. I'm just trying to make, the case.
I know, but I will agree one thing. I will say one thing. The rhetoric has gotten too hot across the whole spectrum. This to me is an unacceptable event. I don't really care. It's one of the reasons why I found objectionable the whole thing with who the hell's the lady that held up Trump's head decapitated, whatever her name is,
Kathy Griffin.
So I didn't like that. I just don't like this escalation of rhetoric. I don't think it's healthy. I didn't like it from the Republicans when it was being done by specifically by Trump all last year. I don't think it's healthy on either side of this. You know, unless you're trying to incite mass violence. I don't think that that is a way to solve the issues that we've got in hand. So, fundamentally,
we've had this conversation along the more general conversation of from the Democratic point of view, do you try to convince people in the middle to come around to your side, the people who are sort of wishy-washy in the middle, or do you just double down and say, fuck anybody who voted for Donald Trump? We'll concentrate on our base just like they concentrated on their base. And a lot of this conversation relates to the fundamental notion of, are the people on the other side reasonable people with a different point of view that you can argue with rationally and respect as the loyal opposition, or are they the enemy?
Right.
And the kind of mindset you get that has somebody coming out here with a gun and shooting people up is the mindset that they're the enemy.
There's
no longer a place for, you know, civil debate. They're wrong. They're evil. They're the enemy. They deserve to be killed.
Right.
And that, I think, is a line that, for the most part, aside from an occasional nutcase like this, America has avoided for the most part. Again, you know, you have obvious exceptions. You know, Lincoln, Kennedy. There were like four presidents that were assassinated. Those are the two most prominent, of course. And you've had various attempts on congresspeople in the past, but they're rare. You know,
right?
I mean, they stand out.
Yeah, we had a whole bunch of Puerto Ricans that broke into.
Yes, we had the Puerto Ricans that broke into the house in the 70s, was it, or 80s? 70s, right?
No, it was. It was 60s? In the
60s.
Yeah, it was in the 60s.
Long time ago. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, these things stand out because they are so rare. We remember Martin Luther King. We remember Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy because. Yeah, of course, all of those happened in a very short time period that I just mentioned. But yeah, when we do have political violence, it really, really stands out because it is so rare, because we've got all of these, you know, mechanisms in place where we do have sort of constrained debate within the standard political process. So that's why whenever this happens, it's incredibly worrying that, you know, are we entering, you know, an era where this kind of stuff is going to happen more often. Now, when we have, you know, this is an isolated incident as of now. Hopefully it'll stay right that way. But every time it happens, it, you know, you worry. Is it going to move in this direction? Because, you know, there's a very thin line between where we are and dissolving into chaos. And that line is when this kind of shit starts happening. And so,
yeah.
So it's important. It's vitally important that this kind of stuff be. I don't want to say like handled firmly. I mean, the guy's dead. What are you going to do? It's not like you're going to prosecute him to the fullest extent of law.
No, but it's the same problem that we were talking about.
To be when across
Trump was not condemning.
Yeah.
Condemning violence at his rallies. That is the kind of shit that kept pissing me off. He kept like inciting violence at them, and violent events happened, and he didn't condemn them. And then you were like, why the hell is this asshole? And that is what really we need, is somebody like that not continuing to incite violence, and that as a group that we condemn it, period.
Right. And actually,
end of story.
One of the things that worries me about the commentary on this at this point is that there are a lot of people saying, you know, look, it's the damn liberals inciting this. And just like with Gabby Gifford, people were like saying, look, it's the conservatives inciting this. I think both of those statements were a little bit overwrought, you know, and I think people just have to calm down and back off and realize that, you know, hey, there are crazy people on both sides who take things to an extreme they shouldn't. Nobody is standing up saying this was a good thing. Nobody. Just like, you know, nobody was standing up saying the Gabby Giffords thing was a good thing. And, you know, yes, you can say, well, the hot rhetoric incited it, blah, blah, blah. Look, that was nobody's intention. Not in right. Gabby Giffords' case, not in this case. Now, in both cases,
it may not have been an intention, but the problem is that all that rhetoric is what caused it.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is, and it probably is in both cases, what you
in
have
both
is,
cases.
Is when you have the really hot rhetoric, there are certain people who are going to take that to the extreme. But at the same time, and I agree that the rhetoric has gotten a bit extreme on both sides. I mean, the polarization problem is huge right now, and we honestly have to figure out some way to reduce the tension here. But you know, that's you can't solve the problem by just saying no one can say extreme things. I mean, that's not the right solution. I mean, it's just like the stupid arguments about, you know, violent video games enticing problems. I mean, that's also bullshit. I mean, people who are prone to those things are going to be prone to those things.
No, but there's a difference. But there's a difference between, like, violence portrayed as art. And there's a difference between, like, Donald Trump saying, I hope some people, like, take care of, like, Hillary with the Second Amendment, you know, Second Amendment folks. There's a big difference.
Well, yeah, I can definitely see that. But at the same time, you know, if you look on the left, there certainly have been.
But I agree. I don't like that either. Like, that's why I mentioned what's her name?
Kathy Griffin.
Right. It doesn't matter on what side it is. It's wrong.
OK, so, yeah, I mean, look, we agree that every side has its extremists. We agree that every side has its rhetorical excesses sometimes. But I don't know. I think the honest answer here isn't, you know, everybody has to change what they do. It's that we actually recognize that, yeah, every side has wackos, and don't try to beat each other over the head about the other side's wackos. And instead just recognize that, you know, hey, how do we deal with
containing the extremists
on all sides?
Okay, can I be honest? I think that the problem is, and I'm usually honest in the show. Thank you, everybody. But I be. The Republicans have had an issue where they have been inciting a lot more of this shit. Guys like Trump himself, guys like Alex Jones, and guys like Hannity and his all those people. Okay, I think there was looking at a there was some survey that I was looking at about different attitudes between Republicans and Democrats in terms of what's right and what's wrong. Okay. And they were chilling. Okay. To a certain extent. It's like how you and I were talking about the other day, whether you would vote months ago, an extremist president, just because so we could get a liberal judge in the Supreme Court.
Right. Well, okay. we had the conversation of if we had the liberal Donald Trump, who was just as crazy, just as corrupt as Donald Trump, but would advocate for liberal or more progressive issues, nominate liberal judges, etc., would we support that person? And I think both of us said, no, we couldn't go there. But a lot of people on the left would. And frankly, I just want to throw something out there. A lot of people on the right would say that's exactly what we had with Hillary Clinton. We had a corrupt
person on the liberal side. It's not true.
I agree, but I'm just throwing that out.
No. But that's the thing. To them, somebody that is like that is that, and that's not true. That's just not true.
The counter argument would be they'd say that's not true of Trump either.
Well, listen, I'm not going to get into the argument with the idiots. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna get into the argument with people who have brains. If you rounded up a group of people, are you defining that as
the only Republicans with brains are the never Trump Republicans?
No, I'm defining that there is a significant number of people in this country that are not Trumpers. Okay, all right, just Trumpers that are actual conservatives. Okay, that I can sit down and have a conversation, and that are not sucking his balls. Okay, in order to get to what the goals that they want. And what I'm saying, and if I take out the crazy Bernie Bros and I take out those people, okay. That when you get the vast majority of Americans, there was a survey that I saw recently, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me to quote it, but it showed specifically how the right wing conservatives had no problem voting a wacko to get their goals, but that when it came to asking people that had opinions like ours in terms of equality, income distribution, these kinds of things, right? That was not the case. That the percentage of people, yes, there were people that would vote for the left Trump, but it was so much less people than the people on the right. It was significantly less.
Right.
And that's just the reality.
And the thing is also true that although there's some debate on what's going on with this on the left, it seems clear at this point that the Trump wing of the Republican Party has a stranglehold on the rest of the party at the moment. Any non-Trump Republicans feel like
they're not Republicans anymore.
Well, the never Trumpers feel like they have no place to really be. But the vast majority of congressional Republicans weren't for Trump, but they're now completely fallen in line. And the reason for that is because they know at the moment the Trump wing of the party can win primaries. And that if they are the ones that decide to go against Trump, they're going to be in deep trouble when it comes time to. Because many of them would be primaried, and some of them might still win and get by, but a lot would lose, and they're very scared of that.
But there was recently, I thought there was, wasn't there a vote this week? I think it was in Virginia or something.
Yeah.
Where they had the mainstream guy versus the Trump guy.
Yeah.
The Trump guy, and the mainstream guy won.
The mainstream guy won, but it was much, much closer than people thought it would be. People thought the mainstream guy would win handily. It ended up being close by like a 1% margin. So
but my point is
that was in Virginia.
But my point is that the fact that I thought maybe I was thinking about it a different way. I mean, it just showed that, look, if you still can get a majority of Republicans that don't want a Trump puppet.
Yeah, but you have a fairly moderate state like Virginia that's trending blue, and yes, he eked out a win, but he eked out a win in a place where he was expected to do much better. Other parts of the country, it's not going to be like that as much.
I was just thinking about Republican numbers. I guess that's what I was thinking from it. But okay,
It's the same kind of thing where we talked about in these special elections. It's not whether the Democrats win or lose; it's how much they've tightened up the margin. And same kind of thing in this primary. The Trump-like Republican did much better than expected. Which shows that they still have a lot of that part of the Republican Party is still very strong right now. I mean, as much as we talk about Trump's approval ratings dropping nationally and blah, 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 within Republican primary voters, the Trump supporters are still very, very strong. That doesn't mean they can win everywhere. But they're a very strong faction, and any Republican turning their back on them is putting themselves in significant political jeopardy. And that's why you don't see it happening at all. Or very much.
Yep. No, I get it. I get it. So I
don't know. Anything else on the shooting itself? I mean, some people have, of course, taken it as an opportunity to once again bring up the gun control debate.
It's gonna be like everything else. It's not gonna fucking change anything.
No, it won't. But I think at this point, it actually looks. I don't know. Like when I don't see a productive thing from calling this out as let's go talk about guns right now.
No,
I don't think that helps anything. In fact, it may hurt. The one thing that is probably likely to come out of this that I've heard a lot of people talking about on all the interviews and statements and blah, 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 is Congress boosting security and protection stuff, because only leadership had any sort of security surrounding them. A regular old House member who's not in the leadership does not have a security person assigned to them. They just go out, they walk to work, they ride their bicycles around, they're by themselves all over the place. And even in public events, like, you know, when people have these town halls and stuff, there's very limited security at most of those. Lately you've had these town halls where Republicans are going out and basically all the Democrats show up, the Republicans don't. And this is, by the way, typical town hall behavior. No matter who your congressman is, the people who come out are the ones who want to yell at the congressman, not the ones who think they're doing a great job. And so you've got a bunch of people who are mad at you coming to these events in limited security. All it takes is one or two people who are really mad at you and want to do some damage, and you could have more problems. Now, as is typical with these things, there may be an overreaction, an overcompensation to what might be an isolated event. But I was hearing lots of scared Congress people talking today on the news and how they are really rattled by this. And want more security than they have today.
Well, I can understand that, but it was a scary thing.
Honestly, I knew it before today, but I've always been surprised that Congress people don't have more security than they do. And I recognize you can't provide sort of presidential level security for the entire Congress, but you'd think like they'd at least have like a bodyguard, you know?
Well, I mean, congressmen, you know, historically have been not as big a targets of this kind of stuff. So. Oh,
and they haven't been. I mean, and we're talking about Kathy Gifford. How many years ago was that at this point?
It was, I think, already like 4 or 5 years ago.
I thought it was even further. But yeah, whatever. It's long enough that, you know, yes, these are very isolated incidents. When one happens, it's exceptional. It's not like people are trying to, like, take down Congress people every week or something.
Well, here's one tidbit. We're talking about the Republican support in primaries.
It was 2011, by the way. It was 2011.
So 6 years. Okay, I said five. Okay, close enough. Okay. That apparently, so in the U.S., maybe the Republicans are like still sticking with him. But apparently that Donald Trump's election has caused Europe to go shifting way to the left.
Right.
That it has had all those, everybody has like looked at all those ultra right wingers, and all of a sudden they saw Trump and they're like, oh my God, we don't want to be like, we don't want to be this asshole. Okay. Yeah. No. You know, I mean, Merkel is more popular than ever. And that every election over there where they were thinking there may be a Trump wave is like, no.
The liberals have won every time.
Oh, no, it's been the opposite. It's been the complete anti-Trump.
Well, I shouldn't say won every time. Like the British election, the Labour Party did not win, but they did a lot better than people expected a few months ago.
Let's be clear. The Conservatives, the Tories had a majority before. They don't have it anymore.
Right.
You know, it's been bad across the board for that. So, you know what? That's good news. You know, since one of the things that I get upset about all this trade and all this immigration stuff is that we are a global village and we do work globally. And I especially spend a lot of time like working globally a lot. You know what? So if this has made the world turn more against this kind of shit, well, I'm fucking happy. I can say that flat out because I consider myself a citizen of this planet, not just of the United States.
You goddamn liberal.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to mention one more thing about polls since you were bringing those up before we shut this down and move on to the Trump scandals, which is that we've mentioned a number of times that you know, okay, Trump's overall approval rating is going down. Apparently, he's hitting new lows again right now. But that when you look at it at Republicans versus Democrats and approval ratings within those silos, he's losing some ground amongst Republicans, but it's still fairly high. But I saw one analysis, and I of course will not be able to quote a source, but over the last couple weeks, that another factor there, though, is the number of people who are identifying as Republicans in those polls is declining. So within Republicans, his support is still holding, sort of.
Right, but the thing is that a whole bunch of people aren't identifying themselves as Republicans anymore.
Right, because you've got a lot of those people who were identifying themselves as Republicans now identifying themselves as independent because they don't want to be associated with the Republicans. It's an interesting trend.
I can understand that.
Okay.
And look, his numbers are in the shitter. I mean, let's be clear. And heading towards, they're shitty and heading to shittier.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Is that scientific enough?
That's scientific enough. And by the way, I did update my version of those charts on abelsmay.com. A couple weeks ago now, let me give you the date. On May 28th, I posted a May 2017 update, a look at Trump favorability versus job approval. And you can clearly see the negative trends on both of those at this point. And they've just accelerated in a couple of weeks since I made that post. So,
yeah.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about Trump-Russia and obstruction of justice and all of this lovely stuff. Back after this. No, no, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, here we are. What's that clicking behind you, by the way, Yvonne?
I'm sorry, I'm in a room. I'm traveling. Okay, so I'm in a room where there is
is it a clock something that or is something? Making noise.
No, it's a fan. It's a ceiling fan.
Ah, it's a ceiling fan.
Sorry,
I'm thinking you had like a grandfather clock or something in there. It's going
no, click, not click, really. Click, and click, the ceiling click, fan click, for a lot, it wasn't making noise, and then all of a sudden, it is. I don't know why. Anyway,
So we talked a little bit last week about how Comey confirmed Trump was not under investigation personally. And we made comments like, well, until he started obstructing justice by trying to get Comey to stop.
Correct. Because because on multiple occasions in this program, I think you guys have heard me say that I don't think that Trump was like maybe guilty of certain things that some people wanted him to be guilty. The problem was that he hired people who probably acted in certain ways, and because the way that he is, they did so because they thought it would benefit him. And that the bigger problem is that now that all this shit that is being done by underlings of him could make him look bad, he may wind up doing obstruction of justice because he doesn't want to be badly reflected by these people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, look, it fundamentally in the end, yes, we have talked about exactly what you said. It's quite possible that Trump himself was just sort of stumbling through all this, oblivious, while people around him were doing bad things. But once you get into this position where Trump is like, I just want all this shut down, well, and you know, I can also see that he maybe doesn't even think he was doing anything wrong. You know, he was just asking this guy to, like, take it easy a little bit, you know? And doesn't seem to have any conception of what is acceptable and what is not in these kinds of roles now that he's president.
But the truth is that for legal purposes, that doesn't really matter much, has it?
What, that he doesn't know? No, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter a goddamn
A bit. The old phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Exactly right.
You know, and frankly, it's his job to know this stuff. I mean, and I realize,
right,
he probably didn't want to be president. He didn't want to win. He thought he was going to lose.
Tough shit.
But, you know, and so he wasn't actually prepared and doesn't really care to prepare and isn't taking the time to learn things. There was a new report today, which we're not going to talk about at length, but he just gave Mattis, Secretary of Defense Mattis, full authority to determine troop levels in Afghanistan. And he'd previously done something similar in Iraq and Syria. And so basically he's saying, you go take care of all this stuff. I don't even want to hear about it. You know?
And so
he doesn't want to actually think about these details. And certainly, you know, his behavior on healthcare and everything else shows that as well. You know,
right.
If he wants anything from this job at all, he wants the trappings of it. He wants to be the one who is nominally in charge. He wants to be the one that everybody looks up to and loves. He doesn't want to, like, actually make detailed decisions about jack shit. You know that?
No, he doesn't.
He's got no interest in that whatsoever. He has no really strong opinions on policy. You know, we mentioned during the healthcare thing that he came out and made a statement about how the House bill that he had a big party when it was passed was mean, and the Senate should be more generous, whereas the people actually negotiating for the Senate bill are actually looking on how to make it less generous. You know, it's just not there. But the point of all this, though, is that, you know, he was in a position a few months ago where, you know, this investigation could have taken down all kinds of people around him and never touched him personally. That is a real possibility, that could have been what happened.
Very possible.
I mean, hell, you know, when we had our beginning of the year show, I mean, that was my prediction, is that they'd get a bunch of people around Trump but not be able to touch Trump himself. But then he goes and shoves himself into the middle of the situation by trying to make these things go away. And kaboom, now he's there. And, you know, and even up to the point he fired Comey, apparently the focus of the investigation had not shifted to obstruction. But the second he fired Comey, guess what?
Oh, my God. Shitstorm.
Yeah, I mean, between the firing of Comey, between him admitting that the reason he did it was because of Russia, essentially admitting that, and Comey putting out the information about the meetings they had, and then similar information leaking about that he might have been trying to intimidate other people in the administration to do similar things. And it's almost a no-brainer. Of course there had to be an investigation at that point into him and his actions. It would be malpractice not to. Now, of course, you know, and so the latest that that is the reason we're talking about this is, of course, there was a Washington Post article on Wednesday that reported that Mueller's organization has officially started to look at obstruction of justice with Donald Trump as the center of that investigation. And so we have the reaction to it. But, like, you know, while we were recording, the talking points from the White House leaked out on this. So have you read these yet, Yvonne?
Yvonne fell asleep again. Let's listen to him snore.
Yvonne!
No. It's a crazy thing, like, right now with all of this. So, we'll have to see what this is going to land at. So,
I was just pointing out the talking points on this Washington Post story are, and I tweeted them a few minutes ago, but the top takeaways are there's no case for obstruction of justice. This story is nothing more than an example of more leaks coming out of the FBI. Why is no one investigating Attorney General Lynch? President Trump did this because he knew it was the right thing to do, even though it might lengthen Russian investigation. If the account is true, the special counsel is struck out on trying to prove collusion. So now he's trying to do obstruction to save face.
Oh, boy. OK.
This story is just another example of more illegal leaks. It's this kind of nonsense where it's, you know, they're not actually responding directly to the charges. They are instead trying to change the topic. Oh, let's talk about Loretta Lynch.
Right.
No, let's talk about leaks. There's mm-hmm. no direct response saying, you know, to the actual direct charges here. And yes, I admit, like, okay, we're now onto obstruction of justice. We're not, you know, I there's still investigation going on, by the way, onto the possible collusion with Russia of not necessarily Donald Trump himself, but his staff. There's still investigation going on into all sorts of financial entanglements that the Trump world has with everything else. So those things are still going on. But yes, obstruction of justice is different, but complete and total self-inflicted wound. I mean, all of this is really, but like, it's so amazingly avoidable. Like, and again, if you really believe there was nothing to any of this Russia stuff, then this attempt to make it go away is only hurting everything. It's like all of their reports on leaking from the staff again about how everybody is so frustrated because all Trump does is hurt himself. He keeps shooting himself in the foot. Yvonne's asleep again.
No. But the thing is, oh God. But anyway.
Why don't we wrap it up, Yvonne?
You know, it may be a good idea. Before I fall asleep completely. I'm sorry. I'm trying my best.
It's okay, Yvonne. We know it's late there. You know, the bottom line summary of all this kind of stuff, though, is just that it seems like the administration is just doing nothing but making things worse and worse from themselves. I mean, Sessions testified and people are like,
oh, his testimony was horrible. I mean, he refused to answer anything of any substance. Anytime anybody asked him any question, he just evaded, like he just dicked and dodged. Well, he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything, except in a couple places he got testy and defended himself a little bit. But we also got, you know, at this point, the special counsel is apparently going to be interviewing. You know, we talked about how the admirals kept not answering questions the week before. Right. And I speculated last week that maybe this is because, you know, they know there's an active investigation here. And it seems clear that that's the case now. Now that may or may not be why they chose not to talk, but it's clear all of those people are now talking to a special counsel about this. And I guess the next question is, you know, who does Trump end up firing? There was talk for a while about whether or not he could fire the special counsel, and if so, how that would work. And apparently Trump wants to, but everybody around him is telling him how stupid that is and not to do it. But they're not sure that, you know, even though he's decided not to do it for right now because everybody's telling him how stupid it would be, that he won't change his mind on a dime one day because of something in the news. And
listen, I would love for him to try to fire. I mean, if you ask me, that would be fantastic. I would be fantastic.
I think that would be incredibly damaging, and he'd start to lose Republicans.
I that's why I want him to do it. I want him to do it. I would love to goad him into doing it somehow.
Well, you know, as Clinton said, anybody who can be baited by a tweet.
Yes.
And he obviously can be.
So, yes.
So, you know, I can assure you that there are numerous people on the Democratic side specifically hoping to maneuver him into a situation where he makes things even worse for himself.
Yes.
Because he can't resist it. And that may well, frankly, include, you know, I mean, not quite directly, but I mean, these leaks coming out of Mueller's office, which, you know, may, you know, Trump is accusing the leaks of coming from the FBI. They might actually be coming from the Senate, because some people in the Senate Intelligence Committee were briefed on this yesterday. So the leak may be coming from there, or it may be coming straight from Mueller for all we know. But having this kind of stuff out there, one of the potential results of it is Trump is going to overreact and make it even worse for himself.
But also, all the attacks on Mueller's office now in general. I mean, I was like hearing this morning, I was like, I'm the guy who's exhausted because I boarded a train to go to Manhattan. I'm traveling like all over the place. I'm trying to do this like in between like all of this shit that I'm doing. And so I was listening to like all this stuff, like Newt Gingrich is going and like Kellyanne and all these people that, oh, Mueller's staff is an entirely Democratic staff. All these people gave money to Democrats. He's only hiring Democrats.
Right.
And he's just bringing all these people in order to destroy the Trump administration. Which I have no idea about anything what they are talking about.
There are several counters to that. One is, of course, yes, these people did donate to Democrats. However, they were appointed by Mueller himself, who worked under several Republican presidents.
Right.
Mueller was in turn nominated to that position by what's his name? Rubenstein.
The
assistant attorney general, who is a Republican nominated by Donald Trump. You know, so you've got Republicans here, and a week ago, all kinds of Republicans, including like Newt Gingrich, were talking about how great a choice Mueller was and how respected he was. And these exact same people are switching their minds now.
I know. Because that's the thing. It was hilarious because that's where they were cornering like Gingrich. Because last week he was saying, yeah, Mueller is great or whatever. And now he's saying, oh, no. Mueller is the worst thing on earth ever.
Right. And by the way, in terms of this, oh, they donated to Democrats. Of course, so did Donald Trump.
I forgot about that.
You know, so it's all the question is, you know, do we have evidence that they're doing their job the way they're supposed to be doing? You know, and frankly, in an adversarial system, their goal should be to do everything they can to aggressively determine if there's something wrong here and go after it. You know, so. Yeah, like if they weren't pissing off Donald Trump, that means they weren't doing their job. Just like Ken fucking Starr during the Clinton administration was doing what he needed to do. And like if he wasn't getting under the Clinton skin and digging into all of these stuff, then he wouldn't have been doing his job either. Now, you may argue about the appropriate level of whether impeachment was the right way to go with the Monica Lewinsky perjury, but that
wasn't Ken Starr's call.
That wasn't his call. But the fact that he was digging in and trying to find stuff and trying to find lying and trying to find things that weren't right, that's what his job was. And that's what this guy's job is. And the defenses that are coming out here, I mean, these talking points are so weak. Like, is that really all they have, is trying to change the topic?
Yes,
because that's very he's in deep trouble, if that's the best they can do.
And the answer is yes, he is. And yes, why are you surprised? Of course, that's all they got. What the fuck else do you think they would have?
OK, let's let Yvonne sleep.
Oh, God. Yes. Thank you. Sorry, folks. I'm trying my best.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us for Curmudgeon's Corner once again. We got once again to hear Yvonne snoring. That's a special episode when that happens.
This is, yeah, this happens like occasionally when I'm like traveling and I'm like waking up at like 4 a.m. and like going off on like 3 hours of sleep and trying to record a podcast at 1 a.m. Yes, I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying my best.
We appreciate your efforts, Yvonne. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You know the deal. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/curmudgeoncorner. If you haven't already liked us, like us, comment there on the show. Tell us your thoughts on the episode. We'll go back and forth with you there. Like the episode. Tell your friends. Share our site. Share the episode. If you really like us, go to patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner and throw us a couple bucks to help support the show. We love all that. But regardless, have a great week, everybody. We will talk next week about whatever the hell happens, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye, folks.